It is February the 17th, 2012. I am Steve Growick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, Growick.net, your source on the internet for all your pro wrestling and MMA news. And at this time, it's a very special time for me to welcome a former WWE superstar who had a couple different notable characters, including Papa Shango and The Godfather. And you may remember him as in the Right to Censor group as The Good Father as well. Today I give you Charles Wright, a.k.a. The Godfather. How you doing, my man?
Man, what's going on, man? Good to talk to you, brother. What's going on with you?
Well, we run a pro wrestling website, and there's been some interest in you because I know you're doing some appearances. And
yeah.
One includes going to New Jersey here on March the 9th for Pro Wrestling Syndicate. You're going to be out there in Rahway, New Jersey. We'll put the information up at Gerweck.net. How many appearances are you doing these days?
I am so busy in Vegas that I'm not doing too many. I'm averaging probably one every 3 months or so, and that's more just to get out of Vegas for a minute and get away from all the hustle and bustle here. But, yeah, I'm going out there to New Jersey. Got a lot of good friends and family out there, and me and all the girls are going to be out there in all our living color and having some good fun, man, and get on that show, and no telling what we're going to do.
Yeah, it should be a good time, and why don't you update the fans? What have you been up to since we've kind of seen you last in World Wrestling Entertainment?
Well, I've always had a club in Vegas called Cheetahs. It's a topless club. And that's where I put all my efforts and time, and that consumes the most of all my day now. I've kind of concentrated all my business efforts on that right now. Doesn't leave any time for wrestling or that, you know. I'd love to get more out there, but I am so busy. This takes up at least 16 hours of my time a day. Like I was telling you earlier before this interview, I literally have 4 hours of rest before we get ready and deal with the crazy night of Las Vegas. And, you know, here in Las Vegas, the town doesn't close. We're open 24 hours. And so that means the club is open 24 hours. So you deal with a lot of issues and problems that people in New Jersey and other places don't deal with, you know.
You occasionally see any wrestlers come through your club there?
Just about everybody. Every wrestler knows where I work. And a lot of entertainers and Vince himself. Everybody comes by. They might not go in the club, but I've got some pretty plush offices that we hang out with. And if you play dominoes, you got a really good chance of hanging out with us.
How does the strip club compare to the pro wrestling business?
For me, it's about the same. I'm the only wrestler to get some. I'm going to joke, but I'm the only wrestler to get away from women and end up with women, or you could say hoes. But I went from a strip club, became a wrestler, and then look what happened. End up being the Godfather with naked women. I can't get away from naked women. I don't know what it is, but something about me and naked women go together.
It's like a magnet to each other there. Huh?
I don't know if that's good or bad, but it is what it is.
Well, I guess after all these years in wrestling, one of my first questions I wanted to ask you is, you know, how are you doing physically these days after all the bumps and bruises in the ring?
You know, I've been, thank God, I've been mostly gimmicks all my life. I didn't have to actually go through tables too often or get over the head with chairs, but I'm holding up good. I'm in really good shape. I coach basketball. One of my youngest, when I retired from wrestling, we had one more child, so he's 8 years old now, so I coach his games, and I work out a lot. In fact, I have to get an hour of cardio in when this call's over before I go back in tonight. But my body's doing well. I ride a lot of dirt bikes, believe it or not, so I can't be doing too bad. I've held up pretty well.
Are you officially retired now? Have you wrestled your last match?
I did a 2-week tour in Austria with on that Hogan tour, and my last match was with Val Venus, and I'm almost positive. I'm not going to say for sure, but I'm pretty much done. I'm not looking to wrestle anymore.
No, especially when you just make appearances and they bring you in and you can sign autographs and meet the fans.
You know
that's
what?
The way
it's
to do it.
Especially as the Godfather, you know. It's always a fun thing to get out, and people love The Godfather, so it's always a fun thing just to get out and have some fun, and that's why I said I don't do them too often. My business keeps me pretty busy.
So I'm assuming that's the best received or the most over character you've portrayed was The Godfather.
It's the most over with me. It's the most over with me. The Godfather is about as close as you can humanly get to being me being myself. That is as close as, that's why that it went so well, because that was just me being me, not trying to be a fighter, not trying to be a Muslim, not trying to be a voodoo priest. It was just me being me.
I assume you had some input in this character development.
Me and my wife did that whole thing, and I was in the Nation of Domination. They were building Rock up. We were kind of just there to take tombstones and stunners, and that's about all we were doing there. And I kind of developed the Godfather from just as they were building Rocky up, and then I went to Vince about it. We talked about taking it a little further, and it ended up going as far as what you see. They never gave me any verbiage. All they ever gave me was time. It was all they would give me is how much time I had. There was no verbiage. They didn't ask me what I was going to do. They didn't ask me what I was going to say. The person that I worked with, 90% of the time, they would have no idea what I would say to them. I would just tell them, oh, just go with me, you know, go with it. So in that aspect, it was pretty cool.
And how did they find the hose for most of the show?
At first, me and some of the guys would go out and get them from strip clubs, but then the gimmick got over, like, overnight. As soon as we put it on TV, the first time we put it on TV, it got over overnight. So then it was people calling us if we'd use their girls, and it got to the point where, you know, it was just that, you know, you'd show up, there'd be 20 girls there, and you'd have to pick, depending on how much time you had, you'd pick that many girls, because you had so much time to get, it would take so much time to get all those girls in the ring, do my little spiel, and then get all those girls out of the ring and have some sort of a match. You know, it took so a lot of time.
And it seemed like at the height of your popularity, they switched you to the Good Father. Whose idea was that?
It sure in the hell wasn't mine.
I would imagine.
Vince, in his defense, Vince took so much heat for that character. More heat than you can imagine from all of the content of what I was talking about on TV, what I was saying, what I was representing. Vince took major heat from everybody over that gimmick. And then he started taking it over the puppies, and he was taking it over to Generation X. But on me, it got so bad that I could only be on at a certain time of night, and then they wanted to know what I was going to say. And if I was on live TV, they'd say, if he says this, if he says that, if he says this, we're going to pull you off the TV. And so it just got too crazy to where Vince says, you know what, we're going to poke fun at him now. And I had to come into being the Godfather to being the Good Father. And I was almost enough to make me quit. That was one gimmick that I hated doing.
And you had a couple of stints. You were there in the early 90s and you left and you came back and then you left again. What was the circumstances of some of your departures there from WWE?
It was nothing ever bad. It would be the business wasn't making money. I always had what I have now. And I've always made a very good living what I do now. What I've always done in the topless business. And so I would tell Vince, hey, I'm not making any money. I'm on the road. This is crazy. I can make more money sitting at home. And so I would leave. And then somebody would call me and say, you want to come back? And I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll come back. And then when it wasn't going the way I wanted it to, I would just come back to work here in Vegas and take care of business. And I always had something to come back to. So I was never fired. I was never none of that. I would just say, hey, it's time for me to go. You're not doing nothing with me. And then I finished up as the Godfather. And you know, Vince could have beat me the whole time because it got to the point where I couldn't call myself a pimp. I couldn't talk about smoking. I couldn't call the girls hoes. And, you know, they tried to bring back a Godfather-like type of character back, and it just wasn't going. And, you know, Vince could have beat me that whole time, and he didn't. He never did. He was, you know, I always tell people, Vince always paid me what he said he was, and he was always cool with me. So
I wonder too, when you had left a couple of times from WWF at the time, did you get any feelers from WCW to just jump ship?
No.
No.
Now that wasn't that the most that wasn't those weren't my type of people. Let's just let it go at that.
You had the Intercontinental title in '99, and I know looking at your career, you didn't have a lot of championships. Was that was kind of like a personal highlight for you in '99?
You know, no, not really. No, they put the belt on me, and I told him you should take this belt off of me. It's just in the way of the girls. It was just in the way. Nobody wanted to see that belt. They wanted to see the girls. I'm like, I had the girls holding the belt. And then I think that's why they put the tag team belts on us, because they wanted to keep that thing going. I wanted out of that right to censor thing so bad it wasn't funny. Then they put the belts on us. That's their way of letting you know. But, no, I mean, unlike a lot of wrestlers, I'm a lot different than your normal wrestler. I was in the business for different reasons than most of the guys. I respect the business. I love the business. The business made me a lot of money, but I was never a mark for the business. And I kind of got into wrestling because I used to tell people I got into wrestling because the circus wouldn't take me.
So you got in a different kind of circus, right?
Yeah. And then I used to tell them, a bunch of old timers used to say, I got into roller derby, but I can't roller skate.
I seem to recall, weren't you the IC champion when you were supposed to lose to Owen Hart at Over the Edge?
Yes, I was.
Right.
I was dropping it to him that night. Yes, I was.
That night. That's right.
That's when they were going to pull it off of me, because I was like, guys, I don't need this belt. It's just in the way of my whole show.
I guess reflections on that show, I mean, what goes through your mind when you think of that show and now? And I guess, you know, how hard was it to be there that night?
You know, that incident happened early. When it happened, the show was over for me. I had left at that point. I don't think they ran a show, did they?
Yeah, actually, they finished that pay-per-view that night.
Oh, did they? I don't remember that. I know I left right after that, and then I think the next day they had some type of tribute show, and I think me and Road Dogg had to do something on the show, and they told us, if you guys want to do something, not – whatever you want to do, and then me and Road Dogg did what we did.
That was
a sad night, man. Owen was a great dude. Great, just funny, great dude. I'm smiling here now just thinking about him. He was a good guy.
And I assume he must have ribbed you at some point.
You know what, Owen? if he did, I spent a lot of time in Germany with Owen. I spent a lot of time in Germany with Owen, working for Otto Vons over there. I spent time in Japan, and I don't remember him ripping me. I mean, I remember ripping a lot of people. If he ripped me, I don't remember. You know, if he did, I don't remember. But he was a hell of a ripper.
Yeah, I think he's big.
I can't remember. I wasn't ribbed a lot. I wasn't no tough guy or nothing. Just people didn't really rip. People didn't rip me a lot. Marty Jannetty ripped me one time, and I caught him. And that's about the only person that's ever ridden me.
How was it to work with the Ultimate Warrior?
Another guy. I had no problem with him. Most of the people didn't like working with him. He was just, you know, from working in Vegas all these years, you know, I've dealt with so many different types of people all my life that it's just people are the way they are. Just because a cat's different don't mean, you know, he's bad. So I had no problem working with Jim. I had a good time working with him.
And going back to your USWA days, they brought you in, and within a short time, they put the championship on you. They must have had a lot of confidence in your abilities, you know, dating back to after your training period.
Now, where is this?
USWA?
That was
Jerry Lawler?
I know it's Jerry Lawler, but you know, show me, there's Mid-South, USWA, so I'm trying to picture when, and I've had a lot of those little belts. Who did I beat? Jerry Lawler? There's so many times belts switched back then, and one was the CWA.
Yes.
There were so many different.
Jerry Lawler. Yes, Jerry Lawler, you beat the title.
In Memphis, I think.
October 23rd, 1989, the Soul Taker defeated Jerry the King Lawler for the USWA Championship in Memphis, Tennessee.
That's my very first match against Outfits, my very first real match.
Wow.
Yeah, I just got out of wrestling school, and they sent me there, and they dropped the strap on me in the first night there.
No, that's some confidence. They give you the title. You beat the king. You
either
beat the king on your first night.
Either that or they were desperate for something. because they had nothing else going on. You know, that's so long ago. And I always tell people, I've done, my life in Vegas is crazier than the wrestling life. So going to wrestling and dealing with that circus, is it's nothing compared to what it's like in Vegas. And so it's hard to explain working in Vegas and owning part of a strip club and working with that type of people for so many years. Wrestling is easy compared to this. You've got more real crazy stuff that goes on that you just deal with every night that makes wrestling just, oh yeah, I forgot about that, you know. So I'm different than most wrestlers.
Yeah, I think you're different too. Is, you know, a lot of wrestlers, they broke in at 18, 19, 20 years old, but you didn't break into what, your late 20s?
Like, that's probably in my 30s.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, wow. It was just, I was working in the clubs in Vegas. They were filming a movie called Over the Top, which was an arm wrestling movie with Sylvester Stallone. You remember it?
Yes, I do remember that, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, I was a bartender at the club, a different strip club, but the same place. Okay? They used to come in, there was Jeep Swintz, I forget all the guy's name, but there's a bunch of guys, some of them were wrestlers, there's extras in that movie, and they'd come into the bar where I was. And those guys would, and now mind you, I'm 6'5", I'm maybe 340, I'm bench pressing 600 pounds, I'm a big son of a gun. I'm tattooed, I'm black, and they're like, dude, you're the biggest, you should become a wrestler, dude. And then they said, we know this guy named Larry Sharp, and he owns the Monster Factory, and Bam Bam Bigelow went there, and he's got tattoos. So I called, you know, I went to the Monster Factory. I was there for a very, very short time. And I went right to Memphis. I became the champ there. And from there, I went right to Japan.
Right.
So, I mean, it took off crazy. And, I mean, it went from me coming home telling my wife, hey, honey, sell everything. I had two houses at that time. I was like, both houses up for sale. We're moving to New Jersey. She's like, what? That's just kind of how I am. And but I think most of the time that I've made all these moves, I've had money in the bank. So, like I said, it's always been a lot different for me. It's always been more fun for me than serious. It's always been more, wrestling always been more fun.
Did you wrestle in Japan?
With the characters and the stuff that I do, because it's always been more about just having some fun and getting away from Vegas for a while.
Did you wrestle in Japan as Kama?
I wrestled in Japan as Soul Taker.
Okay. And who did you work with over there?
I worked for New Japan.
And who were some of the guys you...
It was Inoki and Baba.
Inoki.
I worked for Inoki. So which one was that?
That was New Japan.
I worked for New Japan. And, yeah, okay. I did a lot of stints over there. Then I spent over a year and a half in Germany working for Otto Vons. And, yeah, I worked over there as Rocky Las Vegas.
Rocky Las Vegas. That's a good name.
Yeah. I had kind of like the Bushwhackers gimmick. You know, I didn't do their stuff, but I had their look. You know, I was like that. I was Rocky Las Vegas.
Who were some of the guys?
Big baby face.
Who were some of the guys you wrestled in Japan? Do you remember?
I wrestled. Okay. Masachono.
Wow.
Dude, it's so long ago. I'm trying to figure. Yeah. I wrestled everybody. I either wrestled them or I was in a tag team with them. Me and Bam Bam were in a lot of tag teams. I wrestled. What was his name? Not Hashimoto. Was it Hashimoto? There was Hashimoto, Chono. Oh, I just can't remember all the names. Dude, all those guys
okay.
over there. But I wrestled as the Soul Taker.
Right. Okay. And who came up with the Papa Shango character?
I had a tryout. After my tryout, they said, okay, we're going to hire you. We're going to come up with something for you. And then I was at the club working, and they called me, and they said, go rent the movie Live and Let Die. It's a James Bond movie. There's a character in there called Baron Samedi, which is actually Baron Samedi. He goes, we're going to do a takeoff of that character. If you go watch that movie, I don't know what the guy's name was. I think he's still alive, but he was the Uncola guy, and he had that laugh. I think his name was Jeffrey something. Okay, and so that's where all that whole look came from, is that movie and that character. But, of course, you know, Vince researched it, and then we did a lot of research with the verbiage and everything, and they went with it.
And didn't, for a short time, you wrestle as Sir Charles as well?
No, I tried out. The day that I tried out, I was in Arizona somewhere, and I tried out, and Chief J. Strabo's like, "What are they going to call you?" Because I was really good friends with Mark Undertaker. Me and Mark have always been really good buddies. And so they're like, "What are we going to call you?" And at that time, Charles Barkley was big in Phoenix. And so I said, "Oh, I swear, let's call myself Sir Charles just to put the crown. I'll come out as a heel. Call me Sir Charles." And that's where that came from. I wrestled one time, my tryout as Sir Charles.
Wow.
Me, when I come out, call myself Sir Charles.
What was it like being part of the Nation of Domination?
I liked all those guys. So that was, I don't know what happened with that one, but that I liked all those guys. They were, you know, even Owen was in it. You know,
right.
Owen was in the Nation.
Yes, I remember, yeah.
I can't say Owen's name without laughing. I just always smile when I think of him. But I liked everybody in the Nation. That was a fun time. It didn't last too long, but for the short run I had in it, it was fun.
You know, they don't really do factions today, groups anymore. Why do you think that is?
You know what? I don't watch wrestling anymore, so I couldn't tell you who the WWE champion is right now. Even if I could, it was Mark Henry.
Right.
So I don't know if it still is or not, but it was Mark Henry not too long ago. They did a show in Vegas, and Mark told me. I don't really watch. I don't really keep up with the storylines. I don't know what's going on, and I always tell people nothing against wrestling. If I had time to watch it, I probably would. I watch SportsCenter in the morning from 7 to 8, and that's about the little TV that I watch ever, all day. So I have no idea what's going on in wrestling, from TNA to WWE to any of them.
Well, amazingly, The Rock is back. I know you probably heard about that. And your good friend The Undertaker is going to wrestle Triple H again at WrestleMania.
See there? Go there, Mark. That show's going to go forever.
Yeah. He's still wrestling. He's, that undefeated WrestleMania streak.
You know what? Seriously, that dude loves the business more than anybody I know. He's always loved the business from when he started, when he was Texas Red. You know, he's always loved the business. But it's worked out for him well, so good for him. And he's still going, so good for him.
What would you consider your the highlight of your WWE experience?
The Godfather. That,
just the character?
Anything to do with the Godfather. You have no idea how fun it was being the Godfather. You couldn't imagine in your wildest dreams how fun it was being the Godfather. And any wrestler that hears this, any wrestler that was backstage, anybody knows, and they'll say, Vince used to tell me, "Charles, you ought to be paying me." And I'm like, "Vince, you know what? I will." Because it was just unreal being the Godfather. And I can't tell you anybody I worked against. I couldn't tell you any match, any move. Just being the Godfather was a full-time job. And he was so entertaining that he was always entertaining. And so it was just fun. When you can get paid and be paid well, to do something, to just be yourself and be yourself all day and have fun all day, from the gym to eating breakfast in the morning to doing cardio in the morning with Teddy Long to just being yourself. It's just easy and fun, if that makes any sense.
Sure, absolutely. And I was wondering, when you run into the fans and they see you at these events and the autograph signing, is there any matches that stick out to the fans? Or they like say, "Oh, I remember your match, and you know, against so and so, or I remember your match."
Not really, no, not really. Everybody always brings up that incident as Papa Shango when at that WrestleMania, and I was late getting out there on that Hulk Hogan deal in the Warrior, and seeing whoever it was. But that's about it. Most of it is just, you know, not really. I was never no technical wrestler in any of my gimmicks, you know?
Right.
So,
do you have any thoughts on Linda McMahon running for the U.S. Senate?
Not really. I never really knew Linda that well. I really haven't talked to her much. I've seen her a lot, but I don't know her that well.
Do you have any regrets looking back at your career in wrestling?
Any regrets?
Yeah.
Nah. Not really. I wish I would have listened to Chief J. Strombo one time. He went with this one money agent. But other than that, it was what it was. And like I said, you can't forget, wrestling was always a release for me. It wasn't, you know, the topless part is what I did. The wrestling was the release part for me. That's why you've seen so many different gimmicks. Because I would be like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. You know, it was more like that.
When do you think we'll see The Godfather again in WWE? I mean, you've come back a couple times, you know, the Chuck and Billy and Chuck wedding,
you know,
the anniversary show.
I'm not looking to work, and usually they want you to work, and I'm not looking to work. So, you know, I mentioned earlier, I'm really into riding dirt bikes, and beyond to where I build motors, I work on just my bikes. I have a garage full of motor dirt bikes. I build the motors. I do all the maintenance. I ride them all. You know, I'm not a pro, but I'm up on that level. And so I really would not wrestle and take the chance of getting hurt to keep me from riding my dirt bikes. That's how serious I am about my dirt bikes. And I've been hurt far worse on these dirt bikes than I've ever been hurt on in the ring. But it's just I rode Harleys all my life. And then when I got done wrestling, I picked up a dirt bike and start riding it. And then next thing I know, I sold all my Harleys except one. And I started buying dirt bikes. I learned how to work on them. I learned how to ride them. And it's just a passion of mine that I'm just dedicated to.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah,
so
you'd laugh to see me out there riding dirt bikes, but I can really hook it up. Now, I'm not on a motorcycle track. I'm more desert, out in the desert riding, like you'd see at the Baja. You know, some people are like that, where I'm out there 80, 90 miles an hour, wide open in the desert.
Have you ever gotten a call from TNA to maybe work for them?
Never.
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 Okay.
But I talked to Terry, like I said, when we were in Australia, and we did that tour out there. He had asked me, and I told him, you know, and he laughed at me because I said, Terry, I'm done. He goes, you don't want to do anything. I'm like, no, I'm done. You don't understand. I'm done. I don't want to get hurt and stop me from riding my dirt bike. He's laughing at me. You know, I'm like, I'm done. So he said, okay. So no, people don't really bother me because they know I don't want to. I'm not really. Now, if I didn't have a job, yeah, I'd probably do it. But things are going pretty well for me.
Luckily, you do. Yeah. You don't need it.
Well, yeah. If I needed it, I'd probably be doing it. But it's more like I said now, it's just a way to get out. And I don't even like traveling on planes, but it's cool to go out there. And it's so fun being the Godfather that it's cool sometimes just to go out there and be the Godfather for a couple of days because you'll smile the whole time. I used to tell people, come spend a couple of days with me, be part of the Godfather's life. You have the time of your life. Just the way so many people love that character. And it was such a fun character. You didn't have to be mean. All you had to do was just be yourself.
You ever run into Ivory?
She's being inducted by the Cauliflower Alley Club. I don't know if you know what that is.
But yeah.
She's been inducted in Vegas and something in April, and I'm going to present. I'm going to be the presenter for her.
Oh, good. That'd be great. That'd be a...
But that's, yeah. She was a good person. I'm going to have to call her soon and before this thing because she was a good person. I hear she's doing pretty good.
Last question. You ever thought about writing a book about your career?
You know why I couldn't do that? I'd get too many people in trouble, brother. I'd get way too many of my good friends in trouble. You don't have any idea how many times, because believe me, I know a lot of stuff, because Godfather was always there. Just I happen to be there all the time, and people always want me to write a book. And I'm like, are you joking? I get too many of my friends in trouble. If
you
I
could always kayfabe it, right?
Get me in trouble, I would, but I can't, so can't do it.
Well, you can always kayfabe some stories, right?
No, you can't, no. No, anybody that
stories are too good, huh?
This story, they'd be like, they probably every day say, thank God that son of a gun don't write no book. I'm not that type of person, brother.
All right. We're talking to the Godfather, and he's going to be in Rahway, New Jersey on March the 9th. You can check him out there, do an autograph signing.
You know what we didn't talk about, though, is on that show earlier, somebody told me Papa Shango is going to be signing at an autograph session earlier that day.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. Godfather and Papa Shango in the same spot.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Wow.
Makes you think, huh?
Hey, are you on social media at all? Twitter, Facebook? You have a website or anything?
I'm on Facebook. But I don't, so many people try to become your friend. That's just, I can't keep up with that stuff because, like I said, I am busy all day running these clubs. All day. And I just don't have time to keep up with that stuff. I am on Facebook, but I don't really accept any more people because it just gets too big. It just gets too big. And then people, so I don't really know. They can get a hold of me. People send me pictures all the time to Cheetahs to sign with self-addressed stamped envelopes, and I send them back. But, hope one day, I tell you what, if I'm in your town one day, and you hear that I'm going to be there, it'd be worth your while to come hang out with me for a while because I'm a cool dude. All righty, brother.
All right. Well, we appreciate your time. It was fun talking to you.
Yeah, bro. All the success in the world to you, man.
Same to you. Take care now.
Peace.